little crisp lager with lemonade. You would love it.
I would, because it probably doesn't
taste tastes like lemonade. It doesn't taste like beer at all, actually.
No. Hulk Hogan here, the greatest WWE superstar of all time. You know, I've been hanging and banging all day long because I'm so pumped up about the men's USA soccer team. You know, I saw my image, I saw my profile, I saw the largest pythons in the world circulating around all over social media today. And all I have to say is good luck, Germany, when the men's US soccer team pound you down to the ground. So in closing,
Germany won.
Say, USA is the greatest country in the world. The USA
but not soccer, soccer
is going to wipe out Germany.
They didn't.
And by the way, what you going to do, Germany,
when
the men's USA soccer team runs wild on you?
They didn't. But can I just say that thank God that video exists.
Hey, they got through.
They got through, yes.
They got through.
So they definitely did get through.
You basically saying, USA!
USA!
Woo! USA! Also, Ivory Coast.
Fuka.
Ivory Coast is out.
Toys R Us.
Or
Toys
no,
R
I think
Us.
They're not out, but they're not going to advance, I don't think.
I thought
not
they
were going to advance.
Greece didn't.
Because they have yeah.
Have a smoke.
They also announced today the punishment for Suarez.
What is it? 4 games and nine or no?
No, it's nine
games and four
and
months.
Like, yeah, 4 months and a big something like €40,000 or something.
But for a soccer player, a good like a
soccer players soccer are player. Not that well paid. I just discovered there's like in the top 100 soccer players, there's only top 100 paid athletes. There's only 3 soccer players.
Yeah, it's based, like, based on salary alone or salary and endorsements?
Salary.
Because I was going to say, I know a lot
I'm
of them.
Sure endorsements.
And like Suarez is a fairly well-known
yeah.
soccer player. Like
yeah,
I
I'm
know
just
them,
saying
right?
that like in the top 100 paid athletes, I think it's just Beckham, Messi, and Ronaldo.
You know who is awesome?
Who?
Messi.
He's fucking great.
I think I'm kind of going for Argentina, other than the USA. Because I kind of live in this like constant state of depression because I'm not American. Because I want to live in America so bad. Guys, because I don't know. I want to live in, like, Oregon, though. Like, not, like, I don't want to, like, live
not
in, like, Florida. I don't want to live in Florida because I don't want to get shot before I'm 30. But, like, I want to live in, like, in the middle of, like, nowhere but on the beach in Oregon. Because
hey,
it's, like, the best
place. You're kind of like an NPR kind of a guy. Mm-hmm. News from,
like,
Oregon.
Do you like Pinterest?
I don't even know what that is, really.
Are you a fan of wicker baskets?
Pinterest is like Facebook for soccer moms, right? But where it's just like cupcake
I'm pretty sure Facebook
mix.
Is Facebook for soccer
yeah.
moms.
Yeah, that too. Yeah. I'm judging this based on like the couple cousins I have that are moms. And they're, yeah.
Well,
they're moms, loosely.
On that note, I have a mouthful of pretzels.
Social
on that note, welcome
users.
To the Geek Stampede Comics Roundup for the week of Wednesday.
Welcome, bud.
June the 25th.
Welcome.
This is Joey G. Joining me as always, Ryan Heff.
USA.
And Robbie G.
Hello.
So speaking of social media, Ryan, this marks our 1 week since we started our challenge. Let's see how we're doing. Let's check in on Ryan takes a vacation from Tinder. Ryan, how long did you go?
I would say less than 24 hours.
This was the most depressing.
What? No, because, okay, my job involves me driving from one place.
Yeah,
so you're on your fucking
phone.
No, but when I go and I'll pick stuff up at one place, and then it'll be like, oh, I have 2 other places to go, but then I'll have to phone, I have to kind of like check in where I am and stuff. And a lot of the time, the people that I check in with don't answer, so I have to sit and wait for them to call.
So play Angry Birds, dickhead.
No, that I'm past Angry Birds. I'll like go on Twitter and stuff, and then sometimes when it's like I've been sitting here for 20 minutes, okay, I'll go on Tinder and swipe left because a girl has a stupid spelling name.
Stupidly spelling name.
Well, I'm a little disappointed.
Like when people put Y's instead of I's in their
we
name.
We went over this.
No, I'm in a good mood today, so.
I'm glad.
I'm not death
well, anyway,
penalty.
Well, anyway, so that
anybody.
Particular experiment was a bit of a flop, but that's all right. We'll move on.
Science!
So this week on the show,
wait,
it's another previews month.
I need
week.
To clarify. I'm not trying to meet anybody on Tinder.
It makes it even worse.
I know, but I just want to clarify.
So why would you want to clarify that?
Just because. And it was like, hey, and I was told to get it because my friend was like, oh man, you should check it out. There's so many hot girls. And then I wanted to see what it actually was. And then I just got addicted to the
internet.
Real life, guys.
Real life, the internet.
Oh, there's so many beautiful girls.
It's true. Beautiful people. Like that song by Marilyn Manfred Manson.
Beautiful people are blind by the light. The beautiful.
Okay.
Swipe left. Anyway, it's another previews week here on the show where we're going to look at previews and talk about other stuff. And talk about comics we read and Hulk Hogan and wrestling and stuff. First, some news that I read today. Pacific Rim sequel set for 2017.
Yay! Wait, really? Cool. I like
that.
Yeah,
so apparently, officially, and Del Toro apparently is going to come back to direct it again, so that's cool.
Cool. That's awesome. I like 99% of the first movie.
Who wrote it the first time?
Del Toro and another guy.
The guy,
wait,
the guy who
wrote
more. The book. The comic book.
Yeah. Cool. But wait, there's more. There's also a Pacific Rim animated series being developed.
Cool.
Also, along with more comic books, which is pretty cool.
Cool. Were the, I didn't read any of the comic books associated with Pacific Rim.
There was just the one, and it was the prequel, and it was good.
Okay.
You know what was my favorite part of that movie? Was at the end when they were like, hey, why don't we use this sword that we should have been using the entire fucking movie?
It wasn't the end, that was in the middle when all of a sudden we're like, sword mode online. And I was like, yeah!
I mean, yeah, I was too, but at the same time.
It's like, it's a classic mecha.
I just think that Charlie Hunnam and the girl should have kissed in the end, because of.
Did they not? I thought they did.
No, they're just buds.
Oh.
Yeah, they're just buds, bud.
That's cool. I mean, she doesn't want to get involved with a biker.
He was a hero, though, Ryan. And he's not a biker in real life.
Oh, no.
Fiction.
He's an exchange student at the university.
I made that same
notice. Or not an exchange student, but he's just a student at a university.
More like a student, am I right?
Oh, he is, man. Like, I would nobble.
Nob him?
Nobble?
Oh, you nobble gobble.
My cousin had a kid, and they named him something else, but they were thinking about naming him Jax, like J-A-X, and I would have been so upset if
like
they did.
Like for Mortal Kombat?
I don't know.
Like that game you would play as kids?
I get it if you name your child Jackson.
We played a lot of Jax when we were
kids. Like if you name your child Jackson and then call him Jax, whatever. But if you name your child Jax, it's like when people name their children Tom instead of Thomas. Just call him Thomas and like... Then
why do you have so many rules
because
people can name their children?
I fucking just name
the spelling
them.
Of the names.
It's the Gwyneth Paltrow thing. Like, fucking Apple, come on. Really?
Look, I'm not saying that Apple was a good name for a kid. I'm just saying that I don't spend that much time thinking about it.
No, but I just feel like people have been trying to, like, outdo her.
So, don't try to outdo Uma Thurman. Not Uma Thurman. Who are we talking about?
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow, that one, right. The other one.
Also, she's kind of nuts, so.
She's kind of what?
Nuts.
Is she?
Yeah, like her and what's his nuts from
Coldplay?
Yeah, Chris Martin. They didn't.
His name
they didn't get
is,
a divorce. They consciously uncoupled.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah, but they didn't get a divorce.
Isn't that just
they
like
consciously uncoupled.
Taking a break? Oh, you know who else took a break?
They broke
up. Rach and Rachel.
I said Rach and Russell.
Oh, I said Ross and Rachel.
Anyway. Oh my god. This is why I hate so much.
This?
Because of the Friends song.
Why do you take your hatred out on people's poorly spelled names, though? I feel like
because
your anger is
they should
just
would you like Friends better if it was like F-R-Y?
Oh my god.
Friends.
Like, I would hate it so much it would come around to liking it. Like,
anywho,
because Tam is a flat. So
should we get into previews a little bit, boys?
The Tam is a perfect circle Tam concert.
Oh,
they're a good band.
They're a good band. So,
Maynard.
Do you like that guy's name?
I like his wine gums even more.
Maynard.
That was a funny joke.
He's a wine connoisseur.
I know.
Yeah.
He's a really weird, cool guy.
A weird cool guy?
I think he's like the coolest guy. I don't really care for his bands, but I think he's a cool guy.
That's his other band.
Tool.
Would you call me?
Joe. Sorry. I don't really like Tool or Perfect Circle, but I think that guy's cool.
Anyway, so Dark Horse Comics. This is the from previous catalog for comics appearing in shops in September. There's a Prometheus comic by Paul Tobin and Juan Ferreira, which bums me out because fuck, I hate Prometheus and I'm not going to buy it. But I really love Juan Ferreira.
Juan Ferreira is drawing an issue of Constantine, and I'm going to buy it, but I'm not going to like it.
See, this is the thing. Oh, it ties directly into the hit motion picture. Well, then I'm definitely not buying it because that was the worst fucking movie.
Here's the thing. I like that movie.
Why? Because you're stupid?
Because it was fine.
Jesus.
Because I wasn't too invested in it.
I love the sequence. I went into that movie so excited for it, and I came out being like, this is one of the worst movies I've ever
seen. My favorite, I wasn't excited for it. I just watched it.
My favorite line was the guy pointing out the window of the spaceship as they're closing in on this planet, and he goes, "There. God doesn't build in straight lines." Like he's supposed to have said something really prophetic, but I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
The best part was right after when he goes, "I think I found a Transformer.
You guys think we found a Transformer?"
I also love that they got Guy Pearce to play an 80-year-old man instead of just hiring an 80-year-old man to play that
not
little 2-minute bit part.
Man either,
yeah.
Guys,
did you know
played,
that?
Andy Warhol one time, and he's really good.
Guy Pearce is awesome.
Guy Pearce is awesome in Lawless.
Right?
I went, love Lawless. He's not.
No, and I went half the movie Lawless thinking it was Crispin Glover for
not
some reason.
Not only is Lawless a very mediocre movie, but one of the biggest reasons why it edges from mediocre into bad is that Guy Pearce is one of the worst performances I've ever seen in that
he's
movie.
He's such a good Chicago gangster, and
he's
really
not.
Sinister,
he's
and he's dangerous.
A Chicago gangster, like, if a Chicago gangster was, like, going, "Ooh, I'm so wackety-schmackety, what a wacky new way have it
here!" That was
here.
My favorite movie the year it came out.
That was my favorite line of Guy Pearce's.
That was a good line.
I was so excited for that movie, because everyone told me it was great, and I was like, "Oh, a crime movie, it's gonna be great." I watched it, and I was like, this is not a good movie.
The worst part about that movie...
three times in theaters.
The worst part of that movie is that Tom Hardy is more
and it was fantastic
as Bane.
I agree.
Then he was in that movie.
And I was like, oh yeah, he tried so hard to hear accent. He doesn't have an accent. He has a speech impediment in that movie.
Really good.
No.
Not as good as his performance
awesome.
As Bane.
The only performance in that movie that I thought was even remotely good at all was Jessica Chastain.
She's good.
And everyone else in that movie I like, except for Shia LaBeouf, who's the worst actor in the world.
I wouldn't say he's the worst actor.
He's not good.
But he's
Well, we can disagree about that movie. For another 10 minutes. Another thing I didn't like about it was...
I didn't like the fart
the
scene.
Impeccable soundtrack.
Who did it?
It was fine.
It was Nick Cave, right?
Yeah, Nick Cave. And it was basically like the Bad Seeds, but they were called the Bootleggers. And Emmylou Harris did vocals on some tracks. It was amazing.
Oh, she's... Never mind, I'm thinking of somebody else.
So yet another publisher has unveiled an artist edition. What are you doing?
A whole glass of red wine got spilled on our bed. So
that's great.
Is it okay if I run the wash?
Yeah. I look forward to not getting to sleep in my bed tonight, but that's cool.
No, it's fine. The bed's fine. The bed's fine. It's just on this stuff. This is a thick...
Well, I understand that, but I mean, our sheets won't be on the bed, is my point.
We have a flat sheet, so we're just going to put that down.
We did it all the time with Brody threw up all the time. It's all right.
In fairness.
It wasn't even my fault. I was down here getting a glass when it happened.
Who did it?
Brody and Shayla.
In fairness, this is not the first time the sheets have had to been changed.
Yeah, because Brody used to throw up on it.
No.
Yeah, and I pissed the bed that one time. Good times. Good times.
I mean, I pissed your bed too, but...
Yeah, but that was...
That's just
supposed to be honest.
That's just
the
thing that house guests do.
Anyway, I was going to say that more and more publishers keep unveiling their artist edition line, but they have different names for them. So Dark Horse is putting them out. They're called gallery editions, but they're the exact same as the artist edition or the other editions that the other publishers created. Titan has some. Jesus Christ, woman. What are you doing?
I had this. This was in the fridge.
Is it gross? So
no, because you told me you didn't like them, so I've been having them.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, I had a sip, but it was good.
Oh, I'm glad you liked it.
Right. So anyway, there's a Star Wars.
No, come back.
Guns.
Let's talk more about beer.
Gallery edition. Oh dear. Oh golly. Yeah, it takes me a while to find something at Dark Horse that I'm buying.
You flipped over a page of Aliens. Did that look cool?
Comic. It's a crossover tie into that. I think it's tie into that Prometheus comic, but Chris Roberson's doing it, and that's cool. And there's a
Fiona
variant, which is great. But I don't care.
I do love me some Xenomorphs. That preview page looks pretty incredible, actually.
It's pretty good.
Anyway. Patrice Reynolds.
Pretty good, yeah.
So are you still reading Tomb Raider, Joe?
No, I dropped it after the second issue.
You got to the second issue? I didn't even get past the first one. I couldn't finish reading the first one. Because I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, I totally thought, I'm like, you know how they say, oh, you don't have to play the video game?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, you do, because I didn't know what
no
was
idea.
The trade paperback for Bad Blood is being solicited, and I recommend it to people who like horror, because I love that series. It was really good.
Jonathan Mayberg.
I don't like horror.
Do you?
No.
The cover for Mind Management 26 looks awesome.
It's cool, yeah. I would point out, in Dark Horse Presents number 2, they have some more Resident Alien, but really exciting to meet is the new Fred Van Lente, Ryan Dunleavy action philosophers. They haven't done any more of that in a while. So
philosophizing.
Cool. Philosophize! Falafel.
I really do enjoy Fred Van Lente.
Yeah.
Jay Palmiotti wrote a story just in Gray.
He's in there a lot, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know if we talked about it last month, but Tim Seeley has a creator-owned book coming up from Dark Horse called The Sundowners.
Cool.
And Tim Seeley, he writes a lot of really good stuff. He writes some stuff that I'm like, I don't know if this is for me. But his creator-owned stuff is usually pretty solid.
Revival is one of my favorite series at Image
yeah.
right now. Revival's awesome. I read the preview pages for Grayson, and it seemed really bad.
Yeah, like I say, his creator-owned
but
stuff is usually pretty
thing.
Solid.
And I've been reading Batman Eternal, which he's been contributing to, and that book is so boring.
He's writing Grayson.
Yeah.
There's that preview at the back of Batman this week, and it was fucking horrible.
It wasn't it?
Okay. It was like the worst like 4 pages of a comic book I've read.
The first page, the narrative that's just like, that's going through all the different eras of Dick Grayson, and then the last one is just like, most recent Dick Grayson, dead, describing him. Oh, fuck, it was so
stupid. And then at the end, it's like, never mind, he's the Winter Soldier.
The whole
but like, not cool.
The art was really nice, though. Mikel Janin is
great
artist.
This is exciting. Matt Wagner's doing a Grendel versus the Shadow miniseries. I don't remember the last time we did do Grendel, so that's pretty
before
cool.
I forget, this is my favorite.
Matt Wagner is awesome. Yeah, me too.
Cool.
There really wasn't a lot that caught my eye in Dark Horse's month. They're collecting all of Bob Powell's Cave Girl, so that's kind of neat. Some old Golden Age jungle kind of comics. I was surprised. There's usually more in Dark Horse that I kind of sit up and take notes of. A new Criminal Macabre miniseries, so that's kind of neat.
I should read some Criminal Macabre. I've only read, of Steve Niles, I read Transfusion. Never read any 30 Days a Night.
That's really good.
I've watched the movie.
Of all the, like, a lot of those really big creators like that, Steve Niles is one I've really not read anything by. Apart from that one miniseries. And I guess Lot 44 or whatever it was from...
Oh, yeah.
From DC, which
was
cool, but then it hit a brick wall at the end. Like, the last page, it ends really abruptly.
Yeah, that's right. Apparently,
but
that was something
cool.
That they had done, like, 5 years earlier that had never come out.
Oh.
Like, I guess that he said, I guess that finally came out. We did that, like, 3 or 4 years ago, and it just never came out.
Oh.
That's why
it was cool.
Odd that there was,
yeah.
He was like, that's weird that he took a DC book when he's got so much independent stuff coming out.
Yeah. It was really cool to see a Glenn Fabry interior book.
He did the interiors for the Neverwhere adaptation.
Mike Carey. He did one of the issues of Global Frequency, too, which was great.
He's doing a bit of an issue of something soon.
Great.
Thor, God of Thunder.
Glenn Fabry?
Am I thinking of the wrong person?
The guy who
Simon
does the
Bisley.
Covers for Preacher?
Maybe
Simon Bisley is
Simon
doing...
Bisley.
Yeah.
I always get them mixed up for some reason.
Well, they're similar.
Because Rob likes them both.
I think I like Simon Bisley more.
Simon
Bisley
is one of my favorite artists
yeah.
of all time.
Yeah, way more.
I don't know if I can... Like, keep in mind... I've only really seen his, like, Preacher covers.
Well, be careful, because we're judging you very, very intensely with what you say next.
I know.
Choose your words carefully.
I don't really care for his favorite, his Preacher covers.
You don't like the Preacher covers?
I don't know.
Really?
I wouldn't say I don't like them. I just don't care.
Some of my favorite covers were Fabry covers.
Some of them are good. Some of them are, I think, are, like, awful.
Really? Oh, I love
them. Some of them I think are good, though.
Glenn Fabry is fantastic.
The one where it's like Jesse Custer and the guy, the vampire guy, and then Arseface is in the middle, and they're wearing
Cassidy
the shirts that say like, I'm with stupid shirts.
Yeah, that's such a good cover.
I like that cover
a lot. Covers to the last arc of Alamo are all insane. Like, it's showing the city that they're all going to, and then all their faith, just portraits like hovering above it, and then the last two or like Genesis, like the baby crying on the front. It's just unreal.
There's three hardcovers solicited this month that I actually kind of want to get all of them. There's a book called Popular Sculpture, The Skull Motif in Pulps, Paperbacks, and Comics. So it's just like totally my kind of thing, this historical look at all the uses of the skull motif throughout pop culture history. And just some
it's
of the
all
artists,
just a book dedicated to the Misfits.
And just several of the artists who were involved, like there's Wally Wood, Graham Engels, Bill Everett, Matt Baker. I'm a big fan of Matt Baker, so it's pretty cool. And then there was Tales of an Imperfect Future, so it's a an English translation of a European comic by Alfonso Font, and I've never read any Alfonso Font, but I've been reading a lot more international comics lately, and French comics are always a good place to start. And then lastly, this was a book that was actually solicited earlier as Volume 6 of the Manara Library, and then they canceled it, solicited a different book as that, and now this is coming out by itself. It's just called The Borgias, and it's an Alejandro Jodorowsky, Milo Manara joint, and it looks sweet.
What's your favorite Spike Lee joint?
Probably Do the Right Thing.
Yeah. I saw that movie. I don't think I've ever seen that movie.
I've only seen about maybe 7 or 8 of his movies.
I think I have seen... Wow, holy shit. I think I have seen that one and that's it.
I think the only one I've seen is Inside Man.
I love the sentence. I have only Inside Man seen is awesome. 7 or 8 of his movies.
Holy he shit. Has like 25 movies.
That's a lot.
Let me see. I've seen...
I like
the right
Inside
thing.
Man.
Hang on. Let's look at his... this is Son the of part Sam? Of the show where I like to, that I like to call...
Ryan gets us off track.
What I like to call Spike Lee.
Oh, we... Oh, did we play the theme song for Spike Lee? Oh.
Spike Lee.
I'm gonna tweet your address.
Nice pull. Nice pull, Andrew. I appreciate that. Okay, here we go. Spike Lee's filmography as a director. Okay.
Good.
How do you spell that? Oh, I didn't know that She's Gotta Have It in School Days came out before Do the Right Thing. But so I've seen Do the Right Thing.
That's one.
Mo' Better Blues.
Two.
Malcolm X.
Three.
Crooklyn.
That's four.
He Got Game.
Five. Six. Ryan.
So
bad at counting.
25th Hour.
40.
Inside Man. Seven. Miracle at St. Anna.
Eight. No more.
And that's it.
Yes! He was right. I'm so happy for you.
I've seen Inside Man.
They haven't.
You said it's a cool movie. Clive Owen's in it.
Inside Man is actually a really good movie.
Inside Man, I like.
I need to watch the remake he did of Old Boy because it just seems so fucking weird.
I've heard it's not Old Boy.
Well, I've heard that like the only way you can really follow it or understand it is if you've seen the original. And if you've seen the original, you spend the whole time going, "This isn't as good as the original."
That's a ringing endorsement.
I know. It just seemed such a weird choice. Like, it's also a movie that I can't imagine not being a Korean movie. Because it's so fucking weird, and it only really works as a Korean movie. Like, I haven't seen a ton of Korean movies, but I've probably seen more than the average film goer. But I've also seen very few bad ones. Like, South Korea has a really cool, thriving cinema.
North Korea does, too.
Yeah, but they're all biopics about Kim Jong-un, where he like fights dinosaurs and
builds
the pyramids. And
he did.
Yeah,
he's a great leader.
Okay, so this is the thing I'm number one most excited about from Dark Horse this month.
North Korea,
always sunny all the time.
It is Satoshi Kon's Opus. So we talked about him last month, actually. Satoshi Kon, who was the anime director who made Paprika and Paranoia Agent and stuff like that. And he died, unfortunately, in 2010. But before he became a director, he was apparently a manga artist. And Dark Horse is releasing his series that was called Opus that he released in 2 volumes in 1996. So I'm very excited to get to actually read some Satoshi Kon manga because I quite enjoy his films.
I've been meaning to watch Paprika for years.
Paprika is great. I saw it in the theater when it first came out. I remember just
were we talking about it last week?
We made a joke.
I just remember like a friend of mine for some reason was like, "I'm going to see this movie with someone I don't really know very well downtown. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure."
I think it was Carson was like watched it on Netflix and then immediately because I was in the other room just reading comics just after it finished just went to the other room and went, "Do you want to rewatch this movie with me? It was amazing. You would love it."
Yeah.
But it was really late, so I fell asleep within the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound very interesting.
Well, it was like 1 in the morning. I was tired.
Let's talk about this comic. How about that? You guys want to do that?
Yeah.
So this month, this week was a saga week. So it was Saga Chapter 20. Hard to believe. We've already had 20 issues of Saga. From Image Comics, Brian K. Vaughan, Fiona Staples. This issue started off with like a beaver lady blowing Prince Robot. That's kind of cool, right?
Their first pages are always so funny.
Yeah. And it was cool to have the to get to see more of the crazy sex planet. What's it called again?
Sextillion.
Yeah, that was kind of cool. I liked this issue, despite the fact that my favorite character was only on two pages.
The disembodied
the ghost. Yeah.
Ghost. I have a question right, about this because something.
Hazel.
Hazel. There was something that happened that I got confused by.
Okay. What?
Don't forget Hazel Freaks, and also if you, she's talking.
Yeah.
To him.
Yeah.
And then in mid sentence, she just disappears into Hazel.
The sun comes up. She doesn't go into Hazel. She disappears because the sun came up. She just disappeared near Hazel.
Oh.
Because she can't. She can only be out with.
I knew that there was a reason, but I was like, huh? I got okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I enjoyed it. It's as always. It's another good issue. I'm less interested in the current status quo of our heroes at the moment. But I'm more interested in all the robot stuff. So as soon as we got to the bit at the end with the robot janitor and like the princess robot or the queen robot or whatever, that was awesome.
It was so dark, and I didn't even see that coming a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Neither did I. It was really
just turned the page and went, holy shit!
I just like this page.
Oh yeah, when she's on drugs.
When she's on drugs, pretty cool.
That was very cool. Yeah.
Just because of how it spells fuck yes. Because I laugh at swear words.
Well, fuck is a great word.
You know what?
I just love Limp Bizkit. You never noticed that?
Hey, yeah, you want to hear a secret, Joe?
Me neither.
Did you guys need it?
No, I didn't.
I totally went. Maybe I just won't mention that I didn't
hold
see
on.
That. But
scratch the record for a second. Ryan notice something that neither? Oh.
Yeah. Okay. It's not like you noticed like a secret. You noticed the swear words, like. You didn't figure
swear
out...
Swear word, yes.
You didn't figure out Mulholland Drive before the rest of us.
Nobody will ever figure out that fucking movie.
It's about fame.
It's about fucking...
I think I got it. I don't know. I liked it.
Ugh.
I loved it.
Ugh.
You gotta watch it a couple
we
times.
We talked about it a couple of times. It was one of those movies where, like, we had a conversation about it after. That's what Lynch movies are for.
I watched half of that movie and was like, nope.
Why would you even watch half of it? You are not the kind of person who'd like that movie.
I watch it with my mother, which is even weirder.
You know what we've had?
We mentioned this before, yeah.
I was going to say.
Oh my god.
The woman who didn't get Pulp Fiction watched
that
with me.
So many callbacks all in one issue.
DC Comics. What's coming up?
I have all those.
We got a Multiversity.
I cannot wait for Multiversity. I'm very excited for it.
Grant Morrison and Chris Sprouse.
Might get it.
Chris Sprouse is excellent.
Chris Sprouse is excellent. I love that they're also reoffering these stupid rings.
They must have made
so many of these fucking things.
Mm-hmm. I want the Flash one though.
I would like.
I have like a half a dozen of them. Like, I'll find you one.
I want a Legion ring.
I'll see if we get them at our LCS.
Is anybody here still reading Future's End?
I am still reading Future's End, Joe.
So my question to you is why?
Brian O'Neill is writing it.
I will be the first to say that it is a book that I wouldn't recommend to anybody. It's not spectacular. It's pretty convoluted and slow. However, there's enough to it that I actually enjoy picking it up every week, and I enjoy especially all the obscure B-list characters that they're bringing out of the woodwork and having wander around. I'm interested by it, but I totally get everyone in the world being like, this isn't very good. But it's totally just a personal, like, it's like a guilty pleasure, I guess. I dig it.
Cool.
I'm done. Plus, the Ryan Sook covers are great.
Batman Eternal as well.
Holy fuck, that book is boring. Okay, I am reading that book. That is so boring, so I'm not...
See, I'm not reading either, but it shocks me to hear you think Future's End is decent and not like Batman Eternal.
I know, me too.
I don't know what to tell you. I just know that I fucking hate it.
I'm shocked in the same way, but holy god, it's boring. But I haven't read it since issue like 9 or 10, I think. Fuck, it was boring.
So I have a quick question. What's with all the director's cut issues that they're doing?
Yeah, maybe? I think it's more just like, well, that issue sold well, let's sell it again.
Yeah.
And they're kind of neat because you get all the commentary in each
page. Did you flip through the Sandman director's cut?
No.
It's got a lot of really cool...
Yeah.
That'd be really cool stuff.
One I would consider getting because it's like Neil Gaiman doing process stuff.
I would
like,
consider getting the Superman one because John Romita's insane.
I mean, like, and even for, like, there was the Harley one this weekend. I was like, even
Yeah, that's weird.
I didn't particularly like that issue, and I don't give... But, like, I don't really give a flying fuck what they have to say about their Harley Quinn comic. But yeah, I would consider reading the Neil Gaiman ones for sure.
I kind of want to buy this Teen Titans Earth one.
I'm just definitely because buying it. I am so excited.
Ding, Titans! We got Dodson here.
Dodson. I'm actually really excited for Teen Titans Earth 1. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I probably won't get it. I haven't read any of the Earth 1 books, and I don't plan to start. But Batman, I like who's on it. So
out of the two Earth 1 series that there are, Batman Earth 1 was really good. The Gary Frank, Jeff Johns one, I enjoyed that a lot.
Superman, I like Gary Frank.
Yeah, it's a really fun book. It's very good, actually.
Here's
but
the
I
thought you were done.
Superman Earth 1 by Mike Straczynski, I've tried to read now 5 times, and I can't get through it. I'm not kidding. I literally fall asleep every time. It's so dull. Anyway, I'm done.
I'm the same way with... Never mind.
Here's a collection I would recommend, particularly to Ryan, especially because it collects... It's Gotham City Sirens Book 1. It was a series that ran, I think, 26 issues, the first 13 of which were written by Paul Dini, and they were fucking awesome. Really? And then they kind of got less good when they changed the writer. And then the New 52 happened, and basically they completely did away with everything that was done in this book, as well as everything else, but... One of the other reasons why I'm not super into the current Batman run is that the version of the Riddler who's in this book is fucking awesome. And
you're not into current Batman?
It's fine. I like it, but I don't love it. And like, I can't even... It's the version of the Riddler in this book was so great that all other versions of the Riddler now, I'm just like, that's not a Riddler. You're doing it wrong. Like, whenever someone gets like a story so perfect with a character for me, I'm just like, I can't
Paul
take...
Paul Dini's the best.
Yeah. Like,
so
his,
I want to ask you something.
Absurdly fun.
So you say that it gets less good when they change the writers. I just noticed the second writer. Is that why it sucks?
Oh, I didn't notice that that's who it was. Yeah, I guess. I didn't think it actually sucked.
Scotty,
it definitely wasn't as good.
I haven't read anything by Scotty Lobdell that didn't make me want to kill myself.
I forgot that Scott Lobdell.
Scott Lobdell is the worst.
I don't remember what issue he came on.
I'm real negative today. Sorry.
I don't want to look it up, actually, but...
I'll get more negative.
I'm super negative.
Right? You just defended fucking Futures.
So that guy that's directing...
That guy that's directing
episode 8, he spells his name R-I-A-N. That's bullshit. There's negativity.
I mean, okay.
You're such a weird guy.
I was just
the JSA Omnibus. Those are some of my... I talk about that series all the time. I adore that series. It is so much fun.
I like that cover.
Which is weird because it's David Goyer writes some of it, and David Goyer...
is a piece of shit.
As it turns out, is like a shitty writer.
Apparently, Paul Dini only wrote issues 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, 10, and 11.
Oh.
But I think he created the book and came up with it. And like, I really enjoyed this series, and Guillaume March does a lot of the art. It's a really good book, which unfortunately lost its steam, but... Yeah, Catwoman, Harley, Poison Ivy team up book, really great. The Riddler is sort of like he's almost like their Bosley in a weird way. Like, oh, it's such a great book.
The Riddler, I think, may be my favorite Batman villain.
The Riddler for me is infinitely better when he's not a villain, when he's just sort of like an anti-hero or like a guy standing back who's just trying to profit off, who's not really a bad guy. Because I don't buy him as a villain ever. Even in the current Batman, I'm just like, it doesn't matter how kind, cool, or badass or scary you try to make him or like a good villain. He's the fucking Riddler. There's nothing villainous about the fucking Riddler. His whole thing is like, hey, what isn't a clock when it has wings? And it's just like...
Hold on. What isn't a clock and it has wings?
When it has wings.
What isn't a clock when it has wings?
Isn't a clock when it has wings?
Yeah.
Yes.
A bird? Obviously. Yeah. Yeah, it's a bird.
Yeah.
Because
But that's
it's not a clock.
Well, it always has wings, right?
Okay, but
so it's always a bird.
The Penguin. He's like a deformed criminal mobster guy who runs the underworld. Catwoman, who's like a burglar. She'll steal anything. She's an incredible burglar.
Crazy Quilt.
The Joker. The Joker is a homicidal maniac clown who will kill you with a smile on your face. Mr. Freeze. He's a guy who will freeze you with a freeze gun. Like,
with a smile on his face.
He's like a 50s sci-fi villain, but a villain. The Riddler is like, I wear question marks on my coat and hat, and I will ask you a riddle. Oh, what a naughty, naughty thing for me to do.
You did this thing where you like twiddled your shirt.
Yeah. He's just like, what's happening? Oh, the Joker. He's got an entire building hostage. The Riddler has a building hostage. What's he going to do to them if we don't get in there? He's going to ask them a series of confusing questions.
I mean, in fairness, I would die at the hands of the Riddler.
Because you'd be like, I don't know what is a clock when it has wings.
I don't know. Spell your name properly.
Fuck. The Riddler does spell his name properly.
I'm Nigma, like N-Y-G-M-A.
Yeah, because it's E. Nigma.
Like,
Enigma?
No, it's got to be like...
It's a mystery wrapped in...
N-I-G-M-A.
So you think his name should be N-I-G-M-A?
Yeah.
The Nigma? Nigma. What's up? Yo, 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 Nigma.
What's up,
my Nigma? My Nigma and Hizzy. How you doing, my Nigma?
Oh, no.
All right, Rob's going to make squealing noises now. Peter Milligan has a new... Peter Milligan has a new Vertigo series called The Names.
Hey,
this one I'm not probably going to read. I'm not going to get the other one because I don't understand the one from Dynamite. I'm like
Terminal Hero.
No, this is it doesn't make sense. This one looks good.
Terminal Hero looks amazing. This one also looks amazing.
I think I read the synopsis for that solicitation like three times. And I'm like, I still don't know what the fuck this is about.
Terminal Hero.
Yeah, but this one sounds cool.
Terminal Hero is Piotr Kowalski. Except, doing art.
Didn't we talk about this last time? It's The Wolf of Wall Street meets Kill Bill. I'm like, well, I like Kill Bill, but The Wolf of Wall Street sucks.
Yeah, but you know what? We totally did talk about this.
Or was it something else that was also like The Wolf of Wall Street?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. I might have been babbling about Peter Milligan last week, too.
You do that a lot.
He's my favorite.
He's my favorite.
Are you going to get Bodies from Vertigo?
This kind of looks cool. I'm thinking about it.
It's
going to
be so good.
Cy Spencer's cool.
I'm excited for Bodies. I'm getting that. I think I'm following all the Vertigo books except for... I'm not reading Second Cycle just because I'm getting it in trade. I'm not reading Dead Boy Detectives or Coffin Hill anymore. Dead Boy Detectives I'm going to get in trade, but Coffin Hill...
Coffin Hill is like the shittiest book ever.
It's ridiculous. Fables
I
so
called
good.
That when it first came out.
The art is very good,
this
though.
Looks like fucking Hot Topic bullshit.
You were right. Hellblazer Volume 9 is coming out. Eddie Campbell and Paul Jenkins. Eddie Campbell did a...
Yes,
that's Sean Phillips' cover.
Yeah, it's not. That's not the full cover. Yeah, this was like the beginning of Sean Phillips'
run.
It's
84 to 96.
Him and Paul. Yeah, it's never been traded before. This will be the first time it's ever been collected.
Well, I'm
the best part about it. The best part about it is the Sean Phillips art, the story, and the writing. Paul Jenkins tries to do over exposition, Jamie Delano style writing, but he's not quite as adept at it. And he's a little bit boring, so a lot of people really write off his run. But it was actually quite cool.
Cool.
And specifically for Sean Phillips' artwork, I mean, him drawing Hellblazer is fucking incredible.
Looking at these collectibles here, I don't often like buy statues or care about statues, but sometimes the Batman Black and White ones are pretty cool. And they're putting out a Batman Black and White of Batman and the Joker based on Dick Sprang, which is really cool.
His name is Dick Sprang.
Yeah.
Great.
I really like Dick Sprang.
I have a Batman black and white statue from you. Frank Quitely.
Yeah, you do.
Frank Quitely from the front cover of Batman and Robin. Of the Grant Morrison shit.
That's right.
Such a nice statue.
And so Graffiti Designs is also doing a gallery edition, which is what Dark Horse was calling theirs. But they're doing a Kelly Jones Batman artist edition, which is actually pretty cool.
Kelly Jones drawing the Batman is so cool.
The giant ears.
And the cape that makes no sense. That's just insane.
I really
love
like
it.
His stuff. It's so cool.
I love this
great horror.
This side panel of him like on the side of an ear, and his cape droops down all like another 20 feet below him. Is just so
I really like when you do Batman horror stories, and his stuff is always pretty spooky. Really good stuff.
Quite spooky.
So there's actually a few things coming out from DC that month. So I wanted to talk a bit about IDW, but should we talk about a comic book first or no?
Let's talk about a comic book.
What was your favorite one before we talk? Before I actually spoil it?
It's
that was my favorite. All right, let's talk about this then.
I didn't finish it, but you can talk about it.
Oh, I didn't read it.
Okay, well anyway, Trees number 2 from Image, Warren Ellis and Jason Howard. AKA Trees 1 Part 2. It's the second half of the first. It actually is. This one is a much better issue, I thought. I liked the first issue a lot. This one I liked way better. Like, if they had, as much as I hate them, number one almost felt like a zero issue that was really, really fragmented. This one, we spend enough time with a group of characters that I start to get interested in them and invested in them a bit. And fortunately, they were my favorite characters from the first one, the scientists up at the north. Anytime you have scientists in a snowy, remote location, I'm on board because it reminds me of The Thing.
I just rewatched the episode Ice, The X-Files. That's an homage to The Thing.
Oh, is it?
With the alien worms that are going inside people's brains, and it's got Banya from Seinfeld in it. She fucking dies almost immediately. It's great.
Anyway, this was a much better issue. I quite enjoyed it, but you know what's weird? Once again, the last panel felt like... Where's the next page? It's so abrupt. It's like mid-sentence.
Has Warren Ellis just kind of like Do you think he's just almost writing for trade?
Oh, this now? Feels like he's written not individual. This feels like he wrote a whole graphic novel, and then every 22 pages they just said this is an issue. Which, because
that's
whatever.
What Moon Knight feels like recently, anyway.
But this literally, this is how this issue ends. The last panel is a character going, "Black flowers shouldn't be growing out here. Maybe lichen, but not blooms. And even Arctic poppies turn to face the sun. The ones around Napoleon didn't. I looked today. End of comic." I was like, what? Weird. Like, it literally feels like she's in the middle of a sentence.
That's so weird. What you're saying is, I'm trade waiting for this.
What I'm saying is, this is going to be an awesome series to read in trade.
It's just weird, because it was just two weeks ago I had the exact same complaint about that issue, Moon Knight. That was weird.
It's very odd, but whatever. It's great looking art. I like this issue a lot better than issue
Jason ones. Howard's cool.
There's some... Mm-hmm. Okay, I have some questions, and they're more rhetorical, because I don't think either of you are involved in publishing at IDW. But
how little you know.
September we have G.I. Joe number
one.
Oh,
can I tell some news first?
Sure.
I got a job working for IDW as a publisher.
Oh, good. Then you'll be able to answer me this.
Yes,
I can,
actually.
I have some news as well.
Great.
good contribution, right? So G.I. Joe number one comes out in September. This is the fourth G.I. Joe number one in the last, I think, 5 years from IDW. Really? They have started rebooting this thing. Like, they're basically doing what Marvel's doing. Every time there's a new storyline, they start from issue number one. But luckily, they have great covers.
The Cliff Chang covers.
Yeah, but I just find it, you know, odd. It's like, really, again? Okay, well, whatever. I've read all of Volume 1 and all of Volume 2 of IDW's G.I. Joe, and also the Cobra, like, all of the comics, so like, all 200 issues, whatever. And it's really good. So, eventually, maybe I'll get to this stuff. So, it sounds like... the solicit is weird. Cobra has become an international peacekeeping force, and G.I. Joe's future looks bleak, so it kind of sounds like Dark Avengers. Which I also like, so there you go. But the only one that's really exciting in the G.I. Joe section is G.I. Joe versus Transformers number 3, because god, that Zero issue was, I cannot wait for
Zero
issue
was a ton of fun.
It's my number one most anticipated comic of the year. Like,
by far. The cover.
Have you been looking at all the amazing Francesco X-Files covers?
I look at them and I go, nice. And then right? I go on, because I'm not going to read it. But
I'm not even reading it, and that's my favorite thing ever. But
there's apparently a Menton 3 variant cover.
Yeah, Menton 3 did the cigarette, Musing of the Cigarette Smoking Man issue recently, and I think that was the last one that I bought.
Cool.
I liked that series, but I just didn't care enough, I guess.
So I saw that IDW is starting another new series by Jonathan Mayberry and Tony Vargas called Rot and Ruin, and I was like, oh, instant pull. And then I noticed that it is an official new story set in the universe of a series of novels he's written. I haven't read any of them, so I just went, I'm not going to do that then. As I really like Jonathan Mayberry, if I ever read the novels, I'll pick it up, but I'm not going to try and jump into another property that I know nothing about, just on the off chance that it's good. This is cool. John Buscema Silver Surfer Artist Edition and a second Will Eisner Spirit Artist Edition.
I have a quick question.
I wish I could buy all these artist editions.
Is Ragnarok cool?
It looks awesome. It's Walt Simonson, man.
Because I'm kind of thinking...
Doesn't he write it and draw it?
Yeah.
And isn't it about Thor?
Well, it's about Norse gods, so yeah.
Well, I think that sounds like he wrote it for you, Ryan.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking here. I didn't know anything about this, because I get previews like once every 4 months. So
this is really great. IDW has started... They've been putting out those Darwin Cook Parker adaptations, the Richard Stark Parker novels.
Parker!
But now they're also putting out editions of the actual novels in hardcover with illustrations by Darwin Cook, which fucking rocks.
Sold.
Yeah, like there's some of the first Parker crime novels, like my favorite crime novel of all time. And University of Chicago Press had been putting out the Parker novels, but I had missed a whole bunch of them.
Was the first one The Hunter?
Yes.
Wasn't there a movie with Jason Statham
called Parker? Yeah, it was called Parker. I didn't even watch it because apparently it doesn't even resemble the character. It looked horrible.
Is that the one with Jennifer Lopez?
It looked pretty funny.
Sorry,
bad.
Jennifer Lopez. It looked horrible. But yeah, so this is the second book. The second novel, The Man with the Getaway Face, which is a really good book too. And then the third one is called The Outfit. That'll be great.
What about Super Secret Crisis War?
I love that it exists. I'm not reading it.
I kind of I saw that the issue one came out, and I was like, that seems like a good thing. Mm-hmm.
IDW has lots of cool licensed books right now. I noticed that Turtles in Time number 4 has Dan Duncan on art and not Ross Campbell, which is why I bought issue 1 and really enjoyed it. So I'm bummed that that the next one's not going to have Ross Campbell. I'm wondering how many issues he does. Maybe there's a different artist for each issue. I don't know.
Are you guys excited for the Cullen Bunn Godzilla?
Yeah. I buy every Godzilla comic. So, but I'm very happy that somebody that I like who's doing it. So,
I like that cover.
Okay, the cover of Weird Love number 3 is my new favorite comic cover because it's like this very nefarious looking milkman holding a blonde woman whose husband's walking in the door, and the caption says, "The milkman cometh."
Jesus.
And that is the greatest thing I've ever seen.
I hope he's... Never mind.
I seriously, I can't wait for issue 2 of that. Like, I had so much fun reading issue 1. Old romance comics are like the greatest things in the world. They're so fucking weird. And even the only thing better than them is posting panels out of context to your friends' chat groups. And then people are just like, what the fuck is up with Joey? And what the fuck is up with Joey?
Yeah, Joe. Have you ever thought about that?
Do you guys want to talk about Batman?
Hey, Joey.
What's up?
I don't know.
How about we talk about this comic book?
Which one? Oh, okay, yeah, let's do that.
So, this is the first... This is a really highly anticipated
comic. It's a piece of shit!
And it is number one from Robert Kirkman.
Fucking horrible!
By Paul Azazeda, and it's called Utkast.
It's terrible!
I can honestly say that I liked this book more than both of you combined.
Ryan liked this
and
book?
No. And I still didn't like
it. Yeah, I know. And he still liked it
infinitely more than you.
I gave it a really nice review on Alpha because I don't like...
You have no integrity.
No, it's because I don't like to... Yeah, okay. All right.
I
don't like to rip apart... Nah, fuck it.
I think there's some interesting ideas. I think that every character was so inconsistent and just fucking annoying and insufferable.
I don't know why I keep buying Kirkman comics because he's not a very good writer.
I thought the artwork was actually really good.
I didn't like it that much either. That was okay. But, okay. So this issue...
The coloring is excellent.
I was expecting to think it was fine. I didn't think I'd love it, but I didn't think I'd hate it either. But I was also expecting to be like, but kudos to them for giving us 44 pages for $2.99. That shows some confidence in your book. This comic could be 20 pages. It takes 4 pages for him to wake up, put on his pants, and answer the... No, it takes 5 pages! Look at this. Okay. This is so fucking ridiculous. Knock, knock. So 4 panels of him laying in bed... And the word knock knock, and then the last panel, huh? Turn the page, sitting up, grabbing pants, putting on pants, still putting on pants, walking outdoor, standing there, hands on hips, thinking about pants, still knock knock, walking to door, rubbing eyes, flashback panel for no reason, still knock knock, looking at camera as if to say, can't believe that this panel, I mean, it's just like, why? Why are you reading this?
Yeah.
Next page, this is page 4, mind you. Big panel of flashback, followed by guy touching forehead.
A flashback that you wouldn't know was a flashback if it wasn't colored differently.
So now he walks into the kitchen, looking at the sugar bowl. Still knocking on the door. Okay, 5 pages later, door is open now. Okay, so that's 5 out of the 44 pages for him to put on pants and open the door. Nothing else is happening. The scene of The Exorcist was kind of okay. But there's... There are so many sequences in this book that take 5 or 6 pages that could be done in 4 or 6 panels.
There's a panel of the kid who's demonically possessed that genuinely creeps me out.
Really? I just thought he was just like, "Arr!"
I really loved
Skippy the Squirrel.
That was a nice panel. This landscape panel, I thought the artwork was actually really nice in this book.
It was okay.
I think that people are going to fucking love this series. People are going to poop their pants about it, and it's going to be a TV show, and it's going to be a big deal. And I honestly think that this is another book that people are going to really enjoy. Thus why I justify, like, reviewing it by basically saying, Yeah, I mean,
poor writing and bad characterization.
But that's what I fucking think The Walking Dead is, and that's what I fucking thought The Walking Dead is for fucking ever. But like, no, I think it's just you and me that fucking think that, though. I mean, everyone else shits their pants about that book.
Mostly because people, I don't think, read zombie fiction for characterization. Which is weird, because there's no zombies in that book half the time.
I like The Walking Dead.
Oh, I just I can't take that book.
I actually don't mind it.
Fucking so unbearable. But
that's a book where his poor characterization and sloppy writing doesn't bother me as much.
Oh my god, it's like he's never heard a woman speak in his entire existence.
Speak in his
Holy
book.
Shit. Anyway.
Yeah, basically every character in this book is not only not likable, but not interesting.
Ugh. But
the premise isn't interesting.
The main character is borderline insufferable.
He's so like, fucking inconsistent.
He's such an asshole.
Yeah.
And the only person who shows him any affection throughout the entire issue is
his
sister.
Because he wants to fuck him.
Yeah. Is his sister, and he's a complete dick to his sister. And
she's a bigger dick to him.
Yeah, I know. It's just miserable. It's like,
yeah,
it's not particularly scary. There's
it's not even remotely scary. It's boring.
It's scary how bad it is.
The sequences with the exorcism are cool. I thought they were pretty cool. Although his solution to like getting rid of the demon by punching it in the face,
beat the shit out of this kid. And then of course the cop's like, "Well, we can't prove you did anything." I'm like, "Well, then why is he under? Why are you even holding him?" Like,
And here's what I wonder. So they're like, "Yeah, the mother doesn't want to press charges. The mother is thankful." Then why are the cops there in the fucking first place?
Exactly.
Why?
I was like, I don't understand.
Who called them?
Who called you then? Like, that's exactly right. Who called the fucking cops?
Yeah. Like, were they like, oh, like the priest is like, "Well, he did just punch a kid, and it was awesome, and he should have." But I'm going to call the cops. Just
like, to me, it was like Kirkman's like, I called the cops because I want to have a scene where the cop, who's his brother-in-law, is mean. And that's what happens. That's it's just like, ugh, I don't... probably right. Some people will probably like this
comic. I
think
a
good for
lot
them.
Of people are going to fucking love this book.
Apparently its initial orders are higher than the last issue of The Walking Dead, which is fucking crazy.
Yeah, so again, yeah, good for him. I'm good happy if anyone
Zeta.
Finds it and enjoys it. Paul Azazeta, I think, does a really good job.
But if you enjoy it, what's
I
wrong
think,
with you?
Yeah, I think Robert Kirkman
read something
needs
better.
To fucking.
No, he doesn't need
his,
to do anything
no, no,
because
no,
he's
his,
fucking lives in a house made of money, which is impossible
I
to do.
I love that
in comics.
when you're an eccentric millionaire, you can just go, by the way, demonic possession is real. And I don't have any evidence,
but there is some.
And the best part is how he's just like, this anecdotal evidence proves that I am right, that demonic possession does exist, but I don't want this to be a debate, so everyone shut up. Anyway, moving on.
The best thing was the part where he says,
what a fucking
like,
idiot.
The scariest things are real. Jaws. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The Exorcist. Okay, Jaws. Sharks are real. Yes, there are sharks. There aren't sharks as big as Jaws, whose name I know isn't Jaws. But
I was just about to say
the shark from Jaws. Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Very, very loosely inspired by Ed Gein. Not a true story. Mm-hmm. Not even resembling a true story.
I think
someone wrote Ed Gein and was like, I should make a scary movie.
The only like resemblance is that Ed Gein did make things out of skin.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's really like barely a thing in the Texas Chainsaw Massacre anyway. Yeah. And then The Exorcist. The Exorcist is based on a fucking novel by William Peter Blatty. It's not a it's not like the Amityville Horror, which was ostensibly based on a true crime story, which was also fucking bullshit, but like anyway.
I have a for serial question. Mm-hmm. Do you think that I'm a goof or actually stupid for actually trying to write like a nice
No, of review. Course not. Okay. You're not a journalist. Your job as a reviewer is to tell people who shop at a store who might like what kind of person might like this comic. You do your job exactly
okay.
as
also,
you're supposed
to. I feel better about
why
myself.
For asking that question am I supposed to give you cereal? Because I love cereal. Get it? Because it's a four
cereal question. You're funny.
Yeah, no, Rob, I'm questioning your integrity. Okay. Your job is not to be a journalist and write a review of a comic. Your job is to try and sell a comic. Or rather, your job is what the film critic's job is supposed to be. Which is to say, if you like this, then you will like this movie. This is what this movie is like, and if that's the kind of thing you like, you'll probably enjoy
it. That makes me feel better, because I definitely did write... when I wrote a huge review of Walking Dead, when one of the bigger issues came out, I felt I gave it a really good review, even though, like, inside it, or even though, I mean, outside of that review, talking to you guys, it was like, I fucking hated it. It was so fucking boring. But again, but everyone loved it, so I don't know.
See, I don't know. Like I said, I think there was some kind of interest. Like, I'm all in on a book about exorcisms and demon possessions, just not this book.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Yeah, no, I hear you.
I'd rather read a well-written book about that.
Yeah. I'm all in for a well-written book about anything.
Yeah. You know what? You know what? I know a book that's about demons and shit like that, and it's called Ghosted, and it's fucking a billion times better than this.
Ghosted was pretty sweet.
Kind of based.
Granted, Ghosted is not a horror comic. Ghosted is a comedy.
But
like a comedy heist action comic, but yes.
But with demons and ghosts and stuff, which is close enough.
Yeah, I mean, Ghostbusters is that too, but... But yeah, so we are in agreement. Image Comics solicitations. Big one this month is God Hates Astronauts. Oh, actually, that's later. First one is Roche Limit number 1.
This looks awesome.
But yeah, Michael Merici and Vic Malhotra. They're describing it as 2001 A Space Odyssey meets Blade Runner.
I can't wait. That sounds...
It sounds like another, like, noir mystery, so cool. Mystery in space. So it sounds pretty cool.
I do like Vic Malhotra, because he did that, what, Thumbprint, and it was really good.
The one that I'm most excited for this month is Copperhead number 1.
I can't wait for this book.
Jay Ferber, as you guys remember how much... You remember my Ferber Impact. You remember my Ferber Ferber.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Guess who he wrote that
Near
awesome,
Death and Near Point Death, of Impact. Yes. And
Near Death was my jam. So I'm very excited. And it's like a space western. I can't wait.
It looks like Sean Murphy art, too.
It looks really good, yeah. I love Her Partner's a Big Furry Guy. This one, okay...
You What's would love, you know what you would love then is Star Wars, because Han Solo's partner's a big furry guy.
God Hates Astronauts number 1. 3PO. I went back and reread some God Hates Astronauts, and yeah, it's fucking brilliant. It's
it just, is, right? I was so surprised when you were like, I'm not sure if I liked it, because it totally reads like a book you would love.
Honestly, the first time I read it, I didn't know anything about it, and it wasn't what I thought it was. Oh. Like, I thought it was like a sci-fi, like, just all I knew about it was that it was called God Hates Astronauts. And I knew Ryan Brown's art, and I knew that Jonathan Hickman loved it. So I assumed it was going to be some crazy, heady sci-fi instead of, like, Adventure Time on fucking crack cocaine. Yeah. So
there's a character named Admiral Tiger eating a cheeseburger, who is just a tiger in a spacesuit eating a cheeseburger.
It's pretty spectacular.
It's amazing.
This one is one that I'm totally into. This looks so cool. Oddly Normal by Otis Frampton. It looks like a supernatural kids mystery disappearance comic with fantastic artwork.
What a cool name, Otis Frampton.
Yeah, and Oddly Normal is a great name for a character.
I don't. You want to know why I don't like the name Otis? Because
please tell us.
In Dead Rising 1.
What's that?
It's a video game where it was basically.
That's where you run around killing zombies in a mall.
Yeah, it's basically Dawn of the Dead. But
I was thinking of the one where you're a cowboy killing zombies.
Red Dead Redemption, Dead Nightmare.
That's the one, right?
Yeah. No, Dead Rising.
I remember Dead Rising. I liked that game. It was fun.
Yeah, that game was really fun. Except for the fact that A, there was time constraints on it, and B, there was a character named Otis who would radio you every like 5 minutes.
We're getting radioed.
And it was like we got to find out about this helicopter. It was like the Otis, the old janitor. It was like it was fucking annoying, and it ruined that game for me. So I don't like the name of
There was a level in Left 4 Dead 1 or 2 that was in a mall too, wasn't there?
I'm sure
that
was.
I'm pretty sure there was. That game was fucking sweet.
It was hard.
Left 4 Dead 2 is on the Steam sale right now.
Is it? I have it already. But
there's a lot of cool things. Civ 5 is like $7.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I don't play video games, so I shouldn't be excited or...
You have Simpsons Tapped Out playing right in front of you.
That's not a video game.
Yeah. What is it?
It's a finger workout.
It's a game. It's like
so
a job.
So is every video game.
No, this is literally like a job where you go in every once in a while and make sure all your people are doing stuff.
Hey, I'll add you because I'm on that.
Are you in it?
Yeah, I haven't definitely been on it in like 6 months.
No, but do it so I can get some friend points.
I'm like level 30.
Really? I'm in level 50, but I only started playing a couple weeks ago.
Well, no, I want to play this.
Basically, remember Tiny Tower, Rob?
Maybe.
It's one of those games where it's not even a game. Like, you go and you have to build stuff, and you have
to
wait.
It's Farmville. Roller Coaster Tycoon.
You know what? It's Farmville with Simpsons characters.
And it's actually really funny.
It's funny, and like you... Yeah. I got it because I needed something to do while I was waiting for Brody to fall asleep. But like, it didn't distract me so much that I could still like pay attention.
I downloaded a really fun game called Batman and the Flash Hero Run, which is just Temple Run but with Batman and the Flash.
That actually sounds awesome.
It's really, really fun.
Cool.
It's hard.
So am I.
That's what she said. Good jokes, guys.
Yay.
Quality stuff going on.
Hey, I know you guys are going to make fun of me right now, but there's a new TV series that just started that I'm excited for called Taxi Brooklyn, which is the TV series version of... Remember that movie Taxi with Queen Latifah and Jimmy Fallon? Which was a remake of a French film with the same plot. But yeah, it's a TV version of that.
That's great.
Sounds
fantastic.
You know what sounds better?
I like that movie.
You know what sounds better? Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
That's a good show.
That's an amazing show.
I like it too. So I didn't old remember there being much else.
Oh, there's Undertow number 4. Just kidding.
Oh, there's... Okay, for $9.99 trades, you got the Egos Volume 1, which I thought was a miniseries anyway, so isn't it just Egos... Da-da?
I don't know.
I'm going to get it because it's $10. Manhattan Projects Volume 1 Hardcover, collecting the first 10 issues. I'm going to get those, I think.
I totally want them in
hardcover. I don't have the paperbacks. Mm-hmm. I just have the issues.
I totally want them in hardcover.
Yeah. Also, there's the $10 Mercenary Sea trade paperback number 1. I'm probably going to get that because I like the first couple issues. Southern Bastards number 1 is a $10 trade worth checking out.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The Wolf Dead. And that was pretty much it. The cover for Fade Out number 2 is really cool.
Yes. Very, very, very cool. Yeah, Jupiter's Legacy is going to have another issue one of these days. I'm excited for Low to come out.
The cover for Manifest Destiny number 10 is sweet.
I'm just waiting for Manifest Destiny.
That's what it is. There's the Hack Slash, like, they're relaunching it.
Yeah, Hack Slash, Son of Sam Hain.
Mm-hmm. Will I have had to have read all of Hack Slash?
What I understand when I was talking about it with somebody the other day was that it's like... Sorry, I touched your foot. Sorry. But they were saying that it's like it's supposed to be a good jump on...
I've read that book. I've jumped in and out of that book 1,000 times since it started.
It's supposed to be
It's pretty... Basically, the premise is Hack and Slash are Cassie Hack and Vladimir Slash. She's like the proverbial last girl in the slasher movies, and he's a gigantic monster-y kind of guy, and they go around killing slashers.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Did Tim Seeley write it as well, or was it
Seeley? Tim Seeley created it and wrote the entire thing.
This miniseries is Michael Morrissey and Steve.
I don't even think it's a miniseries. I think it's just like they're basically relaunching.
And they're doing like the same thing they do with like BPRD and Hellboy stuff now, like a series of miniseries.
Cool.
More and more books seem to be going that way, which is a good way to go.
And I know Tim Seeley's kind of just like handing it off, I guess, to whoever.
His brother.
Yeah, and just to like.
Well, their Hoax Hunters book is really good. It's just that last arc had the worst art I've ever seen in my life, so I couldn't get through it. But
you know what's really cool, though?
Tell me.
Ghosted 13 still has David Gianpolis.
Nice.
Which is really cool.
Ha, he made fart noises with his hands. The only other book I have is my pick, so I guess we can quickly go through Marvel previews.
Sure. I'm excited for Time Runs Out.
I don't have any news, I don't have any games, so... let's see.
Hey, Rob Lowe's in Morning Glories.
Good.
That looks like Rob Lowe. Like a young Rob Lowe. It's not him.
Oh, okay.
Is anyone going to get this Death of Wolverine?
No.
No.
Charles Soule and Steve McNiven?
No. That preview page looks...
Steve McNiven is a great Wolverine. Old Man Logan is such a good story. Lar writes good Marvel stuff.
A couple pages before that, they show this ad that says March to Axis.
Yeah, that's
which just looks like March to Sixes.
Yeah, it does.
It's really fun for Axis is dumb.
Oh, it's
so dumb. I wish it was the Nexus, Ryan. And like way there it comes out.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
There you go. I'm definitely going to get the Superior Spider-Man, the Amazing Spider-Man, but I'm thinking of getting this Edge of Spider-Verse series, which like the 5 one-shots with a bunch of alternate universe Spider-Man stories, including one where Gwen Stacy is Spider-Man.
And Spider-Man Noir.
Yeah, and Spider-Man Noir, which is a great universe anyway, and Dustin Weaver doing this cool Dr. Aaron Aikman Spider-Man, which is pretty cool, I don't know.
I was kind of thinking about it.
I like alternate universe stories.
Jason Latour's writing the Gwen Stacy one.
Robbie Rodriguez is drawing the Gwen Stacy one.
What? Sweet. I love Robbie Rodriguez.
And a variant covered by Greg Land.
Sweet.
They all do. Oh, they all do.
Sweat. So, okay, in 8 months' time or so, is this one? Are they jumping ahead in time again in these books?
That's what they've been doing for the past couple issues of Avengers.
I wish we could declare a moratorium on
time travel?
Not time travel, on like books... jumping ahead.
Well,
it's become such an overused
I mean, in the story, it's literally like the time gem erupted, so they're flying through all these different
That's universes. Cool. Well, I don't like this when, like, the next issue of the book takes place 5 years later, like DC's about to do, what they did after. Like, they've done that so many times where it's just like, it's been a year.
Year later. No, yeah, you don't know. That's not what... I mean, that's kind of how they're advertising it, but if you're reading Avengers and New Avengers, it's way more complicated than that. Plus, it's Hickman, right? It's gonna be really good.
6 months. The MODOK origin story in Secret Avengers 8, guys?
Yeah.
Oh, that cover, that treadmill cover, that is fucking awesome, dude.
Why is Deadpool popular when MODOK is a thing? Why doesn't MODOK have the Deadpool popularity? Because he's way better.
I agree. I'm on your side. Let's be friends.
I like Deadpool, and I agree.
Am I the only one who can do this well?
Apparently.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Do you think I was really dead? Yeah. I was making the fart sound with my mouth, Rob. Got you so good.
Yep.
Are you guys going to get Spider-Man 2099, by the way?
No. I'll read it in 6 months.
No.
Not a joke.
For the record, another really cool cover of Superior Foes of Spider-Man.
Stop your arm!
With the first line being, still not canceled, in the solicit. Which I think is funny. Also, how is it not?
I don't know. People must be buying it.
They must be.
So there's nothing actually starting in Marvel that month that I even care to mention. Although, I see they're doing Drawing of the Three from the Dark Tower. I'm like, how are they only on Drawing of the Three? That's only the second book. And they just get longer after that. The only book that's shorter than that one after that one is 6, Song of Susanna. Which is pretty good.
Hmm.
The only other thing, let's see, there was something. Stumptown is starting.
Yay!
From Oni Press with Justin Greenwood as the artist. So that's
it'll be a
sweet.
Real change from.
Yeah.
You see, he's writing the.
Oh yeah, yeah, he's writing the Deadpool.
Cool.
George Perez is launching a book from Boom.
Cool.
Sabrina is the spinoff from Afterlife with Archie, which I'm totally gonna get. Alice Cooper has a new comic being written by the guy who's writing Exiles. Joe Harris.
They're trying to time it for when school's out.
One is one of my other big picks of the month. Dwayne Szczesny doing a new crime book called X-Con for Dynamite. Dwayne Szczesny is one of my favorite crime novelists, and he's also a damn good comic book writer in his own right. His run on Cable is one of my favorites. So he hasn't done a ton in comics lately that I've been super enthused about, but this looks great. Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing really else in this month that
I can just
mention.
Talk about
we can do a shorter episode this week for once.
Sure Mind Management 23 again. I was raving about it on Twitter, so Matt Kent is a genius anyway.
Yeah, so
wait, remember, I'll do a quick one.
Twitter is what you go on if you don't want to listen to our podcast.
Yes, exactly. But I always Mind Management is always my favorite. So
Also, I read Dupe, All New Dupe issue 3, Peter Milligan,
which has been my favorite twice.
And you didn't read this issue.
I didn't pick it up. No, I'm going to pick it up tomorrow.
I think you'll really like it.
There's some books that I didn't read this week because...
Yeah, like I didn't read Stray Bullets, which probably would have been my favorite if I did. Yeah.
I didn't read things. David LaFuente and then Jipoko Kamani, whatever. That guy. he kind of fills in a couple pages and you can kind of tell, but it's not
whenever
too far
Dupe
off.
Flies through the Dupeverse, that's... just my favorite.
Oh, there's tons of margin jumping in this issue.
Yay.
And it's really cool. And look who shows up.
Sweet.
Anarchist from Ecstatics.
That's so cool.
But and it's really cool. And
you
I don't want
read
to
Ecstatics,
spoil
Ryan.
It. I just know who he is.
Oh.
So I'm a poser. but yeah, and then there's like a really cool cliffhanger that I'm going to try not to show Rob because I want him to be cool with that.
Cool. Batman number 32. We all read Batman number 32.
Ooh, are there riddles in it?
Okay, which cover do you prefer?
Mine?
Really? You like that cover?
Yeah, more than...
I like
more
the bombshell cover.
The bombshell
I
one,
like
yeah.
the bombshell cover, and it's not... it's not one of the best bombshell covers, because the Wonder Woman one I thought was the best, but...
This Capullo one's not bad. It's better for most of what Zero Years had in the way of covers, but...
Although I haven't really... It hasn't bothered me. Except for the one that just says Zero Year. That one's kind of...
Again, really enjoyed this issue. Mm-hmm. So there's a great moment with Batman talking to Alfred where he says, "I love you, Alfred," signing off because he's assuming he's going to die in this instance. I thought that was really great. Have you noticed all the excellent shading work that goes on whenever they're in the Savage City and like the shadows from the sun shining through the bushes? That's awesome looking. Like this conversation of him talking to Malcolm figuring out the last ditch effort to go and try and find the Riddler and where he's hiding. Oh, sorry, what did I say?
Riddler be like, when is a clock when it has wings? Sorry.
Who's Malcolm? Is Malcolm his kid? Who am I thinking of? Anyway, Lucius Fox. Anyway.
Malcolm is that kid from that TV show, Malcolm.
I made that joke like literally 6 seconds ago.
Did you?
I went, he's in the middle.
Plus, how badass.
Hoping for a laugh.
I laughed at, like, the first page is cool, but then I laughed when I turned the page and, like, the cover page just says Ark. And I went, what? Like, Arkham? What is that? What is that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I just kind of giggled at that. Also, the Riddler robot, though, is fucking sick.
Like, when is a clock when it has wings?
It is so
quick
cool.
Question. Does this homeless man ever show up again in this issue, or am I crazy for missing it?
No, he gets him to help him. What does he get him to do again?
That's what I'm saying.
Sneak in? No, wait. Just one thing. What do I have to do? I need a new butt. Fuck, I don't remember.
See, like, and he never really shows up again, so I'm assuming that it's...
That's funny. Yeah, I read that and then breezed over it and then forgot about it. And now that you bring it up, I kind of went, oh, that happens. Oh, wait. Yeah, and then realized I have no idea. I don't know what that was a reference to.
Alfred, I need your help. When is a clock? When it has wings.
Anyway, I love this issue. The Grayson backup. What does it
Prince
say?
Dinner, yeah. The unmasked martyr. Dead.
Seriously, that page is so stupid.
It looks nice, yeah.
It does look nice, but the words on it are stupid.
The words in these... There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5...
Son,
six
acrobat,
pages,
the flying Grayson,
pages.
Dick, sidekick, sensation, the boy wanted Robin, hero, protector, the dark hair, Nightwing, prisoner, the unmasked martyr, dead.
But he's not.
And then, like...
Great.
There's this fat
and then,
guy
And then,
eating.
Just kidding, not dead.
There's this fat guy eating, and I guess he's poisoned, but he's, like... It's hard to tell if he is or not, because he's just like... Blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
it's a lot.
Oh,
but it's really like, bad. What is happening? And then it's like, oh, I'm a secret agent. It's fucking...
See,
it looks like the worst book of all that.
Secret agent? Okay, anyway.
Secret agent man. Agent man.
Guys, don't tell anybody if you're
secret. Agent man. Secret agent. There's a man who leads a life of danger. To every morning meets, he's still a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. Odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret
favorite man.
Secret favorite man. It's got an issue number and it's got an issue name.
Did you notice that I was with
Spider-Man?
I was thinking that whole time. I was like, it's gonna happen, and I bet secret favorite man is too obvious, and Joe's gonna be like, no, that's too painfully obvious. And I was like, I'm just gonna do it anyway, and we did it at the same time, and yeah. I'm so happy.
Here's the thing, I'm really tired tonight, boys. I'm not feeling that well, so I wasn't at my best improv-wise,
secret,
so I just sang a song
favorite.
That already exists.
Guys, did you notice yes. that I was whistling the Spider-Man
Guys,
theme?
guys, shut up. Cake Shop NYC favorited a tweet I was mentioned in.
What?
Like Buddy's Cake Shop?
Cake Shop.
But no, guys, I was whistling the Spider-Man theme, and it matched perfectly. It was weird.
Cake Shop?
You can sing Secret Dude. Agent Man to the Spider... Is Spider-Man a secret agent?
Well, way to spoil yours and my favorite, Ryan.
Oh,
it was amazing.
How did I spoil it? I didn't go like, is our favorite Spider-Man?
I'm going to sing the Spider-Man song over the intro to my favorite. We call that a clue.
If I was the Riddler...
I got a raging clue.
Here's the thing, though. That didn't click with me.
Okay, so this was my favorite, Spider-Man number 3.
Me too.
The whole thing was great. The best part for me was the first two pages, where I'm like, what the heck? And then I'm like... What? Damn you, Ezekiel. I'm like, Ezekiel? Like, Book of the Spider Ezekiel? Like, JMS Ezekiel? I don't know.
Biblical Ezekiel?
If it's a different Ezekiel or if it's one that I'm supposed to know. But either way, I'm intrigued because she's walking on the ceiling. And Spider-Man saves some people in a burning building. And just as always, this... Like, Dan Slott is so awesome at doing this. It's a really cool story. And it also furthers, like, 6 different plots that you know are eventually going to become the main plot of the book. Which is just what Spider-Man did in its best years. So, God, this is a good book.
And you know what I really like is the fact that the central villain of this arc is Black Cat.
I love Black Cat.
And, like, it kind of sinks that Electro is kind of a side
side thing, but
it's kind of a side cat. Yeah. How awesome is it, by the way, that like Elektra, fuck me. Black Cat's costume doesn't have the ridiculous cleavage that it used to have. Mm. It looks so cool now. The sequence where Jonah Jameson is like ranting at the woman on the TV channel. Or at the end of it, it's like, we want to give you your own shot. And he's just like, I think the medium of television has just justified its existence. So now Jonah Jameson's going to have his own Bill O'Reilly show. It's going to be awesome.
On the Fact Channel.
That's funny.
It's so awesome. Mm-hmm. God, I love really this book. Good book.
And I do like the fact that Anna Maria, the little wee girl, is still
a main
around.
Character. And she's awesome.
A great character.
She's such a great character.
And that bit where the robot comes up.
that's
convenient. Yeah. I thought that was really funny.
Well, that was a freebie.
And by the way, Humberto Ramos.
Oh.
Fuck, he's so
Humberto, I've been saying Humberto this for Ramos. Years, but I want to get a Humberto Ramos Spider-Man tattoo.
Do it. You should. I want to get a really dumb Star Wars tattoo. I have two.
Congratulations. You follow
you should
dreams.
Get... Chewbacca hands tattooed on your hands.
No, on your tits, like this. Like one of those skeleton shirts, only like Chewbacca.
I should.
Yeah.
I get paid tomorrow. Fuck it, I'll do it.
There you go.
Right. I'll do it myself, too.
All right.
Can you leave this here so I can read it?
Yep. Thanks. My favorite this week was Superman number 32 by Jeff Johns and John fucking Romita Jr.
Jeff Johns and John Jeff.
So really your favorite this week was John Romita Jr. drawing Superman?
Yes. My favorite this week was John Romita
Jr.
Those are
the pictures in a comic book.
So,
no,
a comic.
I'm saying that, like, my joke is that, like, I liked it in spite of the comic. You liked the pictures in it. I'm trying to insult Jeff Johns here.
Okay. I see. Frankly, I think Jeff Johns actually did a really good job.
You ever heard my attack rap about Jeff Johns? Jeff Johns is not very good.
Is that a thing that you just did?
You want to see a no hands chokeslam?
Yep.
It's pretty much the greatest gif I've ever seen. Rob, keep talking while Ryan and I watch this.
What?
He even does the arm. It's so perfect.
So, is this anyway.
I don't think so. Isn't that awesome? It's like CZ. I think it's marks. Combat Zone. It's CZW. Maybe. I don't know. Anyway, isn't that great?
I love how everybody marks out. That's the best part of the whole thing.
Anyway, so it's got a really beautiful wraparound cover. Superman number 32, really beautiful wraparound cover. I was so excited that John Romita's first work at DC ever would be Superman. Some of my favorite Superman stories have been told by Jeff Johns before. His run on Action Comics is some of my favorite stuff. What he's been doing with Superman in Justice League since the New 52 has been really lackluster and not very fun and not very
Jeff
whimsical
Johns
or cool.
Is not very good.
So I was hoping that he would go back to how Jeff Johns sort of wrote him when he was doing his Action comic stuff, which was a lot more fun, a lot more adventurous, a lot less mopey and depressed and scowly, and also a lot more Jimmy Olsen, which was fucking awesome because Jimmy Olsen was totally in this issue a bunch. So was the rest of the Daily Planet gang. And I love that within the first
gang?
Yes. Within the first like six pages,
like
he just
sees up,
rewrites what Scott Lobdell. What, like, the big news, Superman quit the Daily Planet. Within the first six pages of issue 32, he's back at the Daily Planet. Like, he gets his job back immediately, and Romita drawing all that is just excellent.
Who let Bender out? Has he been out the whole time?
He just walked out. Anyway.
The dog out!
So,
my favorite part of every podcast is when Rob is like, okay, I'm going to actually talk about a comic. And you and I are just like, wow, we're doing
and you and I are like, look at this no hand joke slam.
Yeah, we're just like, okay, Rob, and the podcast is like ostensibly us talking to each other into a microphone. We're going to leave you to talk to the world. And Ryan and I are going to watch a guy get choke slammed on my computer.
By nothing.
Oh, wasn't it glorious, though?
It was. Hey, I'm going to change my favorite quick. You know what my favorite was, guys?
That joke to him?
No. You guys. Aww. Uh-huh. My favorite is still Superman.
Mine was still
32.
Yeah. Okay. So did you leave Superman out for me so I can read it?
No.
I'm
sorry. There's a really cool alien fight at the end. Super fun.
It looked like a robot monkey was in it.
I do like John
Romita. There's an awesome Titano fight.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, with Jimmy Olsen taking pictures. And then there's a cool robot fight, or a cool alien fight at the end. And the main plot is very, very cool.
This like DC All Access web series thing, the kid is like doing this pose. That's the same pose that the guy on the History Channel with the crazy hair does when he's like explaining aliens.
Yeah.
Well, so yeah, we got a shorter week this week, but that's
really it's like an hour and a half, isn't it?
No, not quite.
Short episode because there's a long weekend, and
yeah, exactly.
So we're pressed for time.
We're being nice to you guys.
Yeah. Hey guys, happy Canada Day. Yeah. I don't know why it's a day and why I should wish you a happy one.
You don't know why it's a day?
Well, I know why it's a day, but I don't know.
But you just said I don't know why it's a day.
I don't know why I should wish you a happy one.
Why not? I wish you a happy every day.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, me too.
So then...
Well, then you know. Do.
But well, no, because that's just saying, like, I hope you're happy every day. I don't hope you're especially happy on Canada Day. I don't know. I'm an American.
Tap left this joke.
I'm an American in a Canadian body. In a Canadian booty. What up?
Woo! Okay. Badass. I think that, we're...
Hey, there's a movie that came out, and the first word, instead of the... This is the worst
setup to
the story.
Your brain is playing pong with itself.
This is a real story. There's a movie that came out, and all I know is I saw like the review on IGN, but I didn't click on anything. But the first word of the title is the, except it's spelt duh.
Okay.
Is that it?
Well,
that's a swipe left.
Okay, this week,
if you can't spell the.
In our ongoing quest to find new closing music, we have the closing credits theme song from the motion picture Ponyo. So that's going to wrap us up this week here on the Geek Stampede Comic Con. Ponyo, 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 saca la loco. Ayo,
ni cara. Yes. This adorable ponyo, children's cartoon ponyo, ponyo, put the word sucking on a cock in the theme song.
Anyway, yeah, so until next week, I'm Joey G.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Robbie G. Fuck off.
And I'm Ponyo. Fuck on.
I don't know why I'm so ticklish. There's this song that I was listening to, and it's like a punk song. And I swore today when I was listening to it that the one line he said, "I smelt some butt," but it's not what he said. Because I've never actually heard it that way in my life. But just my ears are tricky.
Your ears are tricky.
Yeah. Hey guys, what's a popping boba?
Or popping boba?
What is it? No, what is it?
You seriously don't know what that is?
No.
Jesus Christ, dude.
Okay, because I go to Menchie's for frozen yogurt, like every day almost, and they have these things called, it's popping and then B-O-B-B-A-S. And they're like little weird balls, little clear balls.
Or is it just...
They kind of look like bubble tea? They look like peeled grapes, but like smaller.
Is it like bubble tea?
Maybe. What's bubble tea?
It's like a peeled grape, only smaller.
Is it really?
I don't fucking know.
It's like a drink with balls in the bottom.
But what are the balls?
I love you. What are the balls? They're like little peeled grapes, but more like balls. Love you, bye.